Good morning, everyone. I hope and trust that you are doing well together with your loved ones in these very difficult and turbulent times. I am glad that you are able to listen to the message this morning, even though we are unable to gather together in person due to the pandemic. For a few weeks now, we have been going through a sermon series called What God Hates. So far, we have established that God hates sin with extreme disgust and aversion because sin is an abomination to him. Matter of fact, to him, sin is detestable, disgusting, repugnant, and absolutely unacceptable. And because of his holiness, he loves sin with perfect hatred. In today's politically correct world, most of us never hear about the wrath of God or his great hatred towards sin. But I hope and trust we all know that while our God is a God of love, mercy, and compassion, he is also a God of wrath, vengeance, and justice. You find that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. And then the writer of Hebrews adds in verse 31, it is a fearful and terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that means incurring his judgment and wrath. For he is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12 verse 29 adds. He hates sin with passion and will punish it eventually. In the meantime, we also ought to hate sin because of the fear of the Lord, which Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 and Job 28 verse 28 say is the beginning of wisdom. And then in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, scripture asserts, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech, says God. And then in Psalm 97, verse 10, David says, let those who love the Lord hate evil. In other words, to love the Lord is to hate evil. To hate evil is to love the Lord, and that means you are moving and living in the fear of God. So far, we have talked about two things that God hates that we should also detest. Haughty eyes, meaning being arrogant, egotistic, and big-headed. It also refers to feelings of self-importance or having a condescending, patronizing, snobbish, and disdainfully proud attitude that looks down on others. The second sin that God hates that we have already covered is a lying tongue. But today we explore the third sin that God hates, hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. Also known as murder. From Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. So if you have your Bible handy, please turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 6. We are going to read verses 16 to 19. But before we read our text, I would like to acknowledge and give credit to Arthur Stewart for his exegetical writings and commentary on our text, which were very helpful to me in preparing for this message. With that said, beginning to read at verse 16, Scripture says, "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community." And that sense is the word of the Lord. And thanks be to God. The story is told of a 3-year-old girl with a pet tortoise. One day, the tortoise would not emerge from its shell. So the concerned little girl took the reptile to her mother. When her mother could not coax the animal out, she concluded it must have died overnight. Carefully placing the tortoise in a box on the kitchen counter, she sat down to explain to her daughter what had happened. The little girl was absolutely devastated. She spent the day in tears, weeping in despair and disbelief that her beloved pet would never return to her. At last, to the mother's great relief, her husband arrived home from work. He was quickly tasked to console their daughter. Finding the little girl still in tears, the father suggested that they hold a funeral for the tortoise. Seeing that she did not understand the concept, the father explained that a funeral is like a going away party. When she still could not comprehend, the father explained that it would be like a birthday party. There would be cake and ice cream, and all her friends would come over and say nice things about the tortoise to her. The little girl cheered up for the first time that day. Meanwhile, in the kitchen, Mom heard movement in the box. Glancing in, she found the tortoise alive and well, trying to escape. She hurried to her daughter with the animal to break the good news. The girl's face immediately lit up with joy, but then suddenly dropped as it dawned on her, with the tortoise still alive, the party would be canceled. "Mommy," she said, "let's kill him." This story is probably a fictional analogy, but its lesson is piercing. We are often all too willing to do what must be done to remove all obstacles whatsoever to getting what we want. because we are often self-seeking, and sometimes that escalates and results into murder. It is unfortunate that in this extreme individualistic world, we are so obsessed with me, myself, and I. So much that when we don't get our way, sometimes we are willing to even kill in order to satisfy self. God, please have mercy on us and set us free from this spirit of selfishness. James chapter 4, verse 1 to 2 in the Message Bible says, "Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourself. You covet for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it." From the beginning of human history, people have shown a willingness to shed innocent blood to protect their own interests or achieve their goals. But this is dreadfully painful to God, because the shedding of innocent blood is one of the things that God hates. Author Stewart says, "When it comes to the third of the seven sins mentioned in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19, we might immediately feel a sense of relief, because most of us have probably never committed murder, at least not in the technical sense. If murder is the cold-blooded, premeditated ending of another person's life, most people can honestly plead not guilty until we consider the full teaching of the scriptures on this subject. Our text ably says that God hates hands that shed innocent blood. But the question is, what does it mean to shed innocent blood? Shedding innocent blood, saints, is also called murder. Just as earlier alluded to, the 6th of the 10th commandment of God in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, says, "You shall not murder." You shall not murder. Exodus chapter 23, verse 7. Says, "Keep far from a false charge and do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not acquit the wicked." God will not acquit the wicked who commit murder or who shed innocent blood. He is going to hold them accountable in judgment. Deuteronomy 27, verse 25 in the ESV, it says, "Cursed be anyone who takes a bribe to shed innocent blood." And all the people shall say, "Amen." Murder, saints, is the unlawful killing of another human without justification or valid excuse. Especially the unlawful killing of another human being with malice, aforethought. Genesis chapter 9 verse 6 in the ESV says, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image." One writer says, "Murder includes the taking of the most innocent of lives, those of the unborn children in the womb. Therefore, performing, receiving, or encouraging abortion absolutely makes one guilty of shedding innocent blood." And that means God will hold anybody that participates in taking the life of the innocent and shedding their blood accountable in judgment. The good news is that if you repent and turn away from your wicked ways, God will receive you and forgive you of your sin as long as Jesus tarries. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they will become like wool." God is willing to forgive our sin if we go to him. Since the majority of people are probably not guilty of shedding blood with their hands, I would like to focus on what it means to shed blood in your heart. The most common manifestation of shedding blood with the heart or tongue is anger, rage, bitterness, or fury. Anger is sometimes justified, but seldom. Because as James chapter 1 verse 20 says, "The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Irrespective of what you call it. For example, some people call it holy anger or righteous indignation. Still, that does not make our human anger produce the righteousness of God. God's anger, however, which can never be compared to human anger, emanates from his righteousness. But the anger of man comes from carnality, which is the flesh. Jesus compared anger, which comes from carnality and the flesh, to murder, when he said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council," that means the Sanhedrin, "and whoever says 'you fool' will be liable to hellfire." And you find that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22. So, saints, Beware, because unchecked anger or bitterness sometimes can lead to physical murder. It can lead you to do something that will make you regret for the rest of your life. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 6, we find a very good example. Let me not enter their council. Let me not join the assembly of the wicked. For they have killed men in their anger. They have killed men in their anger. Anger sense can make you kill somebody. It can make you hold people in contempt. Anger has caused genocides. Entire people groups have been wiped out because of anger. Anger is deadly, and it leads to murder, which God hates with everything he has. Ezekiel chapter 35 verse 5 says, because you have had an ancient hatred, you have shed the blood of the children of Israel. It was ancient hatred, saints, in the hearts of people that produced murder. And if it happens to the people in the book of Ezekiel, it can also happen to us. We need to be aware and repent of it quickly. That's why the Bible says, be angry, but in your anger, don't sin. Don't sin. Envy, similarly, is closely connected in Scripture to murder. For example, when Joseph's brothers were envious of him, they plotted to kill him. You find that in Genesis chapter 37, verse 20. Cain's murder of Abel proceeded in part from jealousy and greed. He was green-eyed and coveted Abel's blessing and acceptance. He plotted and killed his brother. In Scripture, anger, hatred, greed, and jealousy are closely related to murder, and we see it in Scripture how they can produce and make you do the something that you didn't consider, something that you didn't think you are capable of doing. The worst of it would be murder, of course. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, Scripture says, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous and acceptable in the sight of God. And because he was full of envy, fury, and bitterness, he ended up killing his brother. Since if you harbor envy, malice, and bitterness in your heart and mind toward others, you may be guilty of shedding innocent blood, according to Scripture. And that means you are still in darkness and under the chains, bondage, and influence of Satan. Remember, we are all called to love others, not to hate or assault others in revenge, or so we can have our way. Second, we can be guilty of murdering someone in our speech using the words from the tongue. Jesus said that our speech flows from what is in our hearts. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. And if you are full of bitterness, that is what is going to come out of your mouth. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 puts it this way. The tongue has the power of life and death. So your words can either speak life or your words can speak death. Our tongues have the potential to build others up or tear them down. If you harbor hatred and bitterness in your heart, it will usually manifest itself in hateful and bitter speech. Often, we gossip and backbite and slander those for whom we harbor hatred in our hearts, the people we don't even care about. In fact, Jesus identified anger with murder in Matthew chapter 5. He showed how that anger manifests itself in speech. Whoever insults his brother and whoever says, "You fool," such speech, which flows from an attitude and the condition of the heart, is equivalent to murder, murder of the heart. Third, we can be guilty of murdering someone using the power of the pen, which refers to writing. Again, this is a manifestation of what is in our hearts. But here it flows in what we write rather than what we speak. This is illustrated in 2 Samuel chapter 11, in which David wrote a letter to Joab instructing him to set Uriah in the forefront of the battle and then draw back from him that he may be struck down. Find that in verse 14 and 15 of 2 Samuel chapter 11. So you see here that David's pain was the ultimate tool that murdered Uriah. He committed murder in order to cover up his sin of adultery with Bathsheba, which means our sin may not be as obvious, but we use the written words by social media, texting, and email to malign and slander others, also called character assassination. We may similarly become guilty of innocent blood for what we write. And sometimes you see that people shed innocent blood in order to cover up their own sin and wrongdoing. And we must check the attitude of our hearts, because sometimes we do that in order that we are not caught in what we do or what we say. And so we assassinate in our hearts or physically people in order to cover our own wrongdoing. Stewart says, bloodshed is a serious sin and God hates it. It is an insult to God who created all people in his image. Find that in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. While murdering someone in your heart is not exactly equivalent to physically murdering someone, the principle still remains. Innocent bloodshed is diabolical and sinful in the sight of God, and ultimately attracts the wrath of God in judgments. So, as we begin our descent, what do you do when you examine your heart and find murder in your heart, physically or otherwise? First, pray for the person who is the object of your bitterness. Common wisdom in Jesus' day advised people to love their neighbor and hate their enemy. Jesus countered this thinking with this command: I said to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 44. So, do not pray judgment upon people that persecute you or that you consider your enemies, but pray for God's kindness on them and for a change of attitude in your own heart toward them. Romans chapter 12, verse 29 says, do not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Second, find something good to do for them. Again, Jesus spoke countercultural words when he said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. And find that in Luke chapter 6, verse 28. One sure way to overcome bitterness toward others is to minister to them and pray that God would give you that opportunity to minister to those who hate you, and then be willing to do so in humility and to the glory of God. Remember that love always trounces hatred, for it covers a multitude of sins. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 17 says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. And the ultimate motivation for countering hate with love is that it gives evidence that we are sons of the living God who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. You find that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. In fact, if you claim to know God and hate your brother or sister, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, you do not know God, because God is love. Therefore, let's go out there and conquer the world with the love of God, to the glory of his great name. Let's pray together. God, our eternal Father, we thank you for your word. Our prayer is that you may allow the Holy Spirit to drive it to our hearts, so that we may be convicted, corrected, rebuked, and that we may come to repentance. Please help change our hearts. Examine our hearts, and if there is any wicked way in us, bitterness, hatred, and deadly anger. Please forgive us and wash us in the blood of Jesus Christ. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Please don't take away the Holy Spirit, but restore unto us the joy of our salvation, so that we may be able to live for you and make a difference, walking in the light in this world that is full of darkness. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship be with each one of us now and days to come. Amen. Thank you for listening. God bless you.